Some of y'all are laughing. Y'all know me. While you're turning to Mark 10, finding verse number 13, let me say, from the bottom of my heart, I'm not a thank you card person. I should be, but I'm not. That's my wife's department. She does that so much better than I do. But I just want to say for the flowers and the prayers, and we had a few folks reach out to us. In my mother's passing, I very much appreciate that. Thank you so much. And preaching her funeral was one of the difficult things of my life, but the Lord helped, and I'm grateful for that. And I sure appreciate church being so kind, just letting me do what I needed to do, spend some time down there, and try to minister to her and help her out. And I greatly appreciate that. Amen. All right, Mark chapter number 10. I want to read verses 13 down through 16. Mark 10, verse 13 through 16. Okay. It says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer," that word means allow, "suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Father, I pray you'd bless our time here this morning as we look in these scriptures. And I ask you, Lord, just to be glorified in all that's done. And Lord, as we look in this text, I pray that you would just bring the right words together. These things, Lord, that have been studied, I pray that you would use them for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus loves the little children. Amen. That's something that I think we could all agree on. This morning, I want to look at this text. I know it says in verse number 13, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them." But I want to specifically speak to the fathers here just for a few minutes today out of this text. Most of us from our childhood, we learn two songs telling us about the love of Jesus. One of those songs is one we sang so much, and you could even sing it blindfolded if you lost probably all of your faculties, your mind went. If someone were to say the words, "Jesus loves me, this I know," I doubt very seriously that you would be unable to repeat, "For the Bible tells me so." Where exactly does that sentiment that Jesus loves little children, where does it come from? If you'll look in verse number 14, Jesus, the words that are in red there, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, it says, "Suffer, allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Jesus is interested in little children. He's interested in it. As I look at this text, let me just say this in passing and move on. You'll see where Jesus blessed these children, but he didn't sprinkle them. He didn't dip them in water. Infant baptism is an invention of man. It's not found in the scriptures. I was sprinkled as a little bitty boy by Father Paul Workman at Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church sometime in December of 1972. Have no idea about it. They tell me that I was there. I've seen pictures of it. But it didn't do me any good to be sprinkled. It didn't do me any good at all. As I preached my mother's funeral and the funeral service, but there was a mass for her. And as the priest talked about her becoming a child of God in the waters of baptism, I just shook my head and said, no one becomes a child of God as a little bitty baby who is sprinkled in the, quote, waters of baptism. It doesn't happen that way. And as I look at this text, I see where Jesus loves the little children and He blesses the little children. He's interested in the little children. Before we go into the text in detail, I want to look that this text, we're not going to look at the whole chapter, but this text, it's interesting that it comes in the same text we preached from Matthew here a few weeks back, the same text that we look at to talk about what makes up a home. In Matthew chapter number 19, it's the same text as we find here in Mark 10. The Pharisees come to Him and ask Him about whether it's lawful for a man to put away his wife, to divorce his wife for every cause. And Jesus says that God at the beginning of the creation made them male and female. Jesus puts His stamp of approval on the Genesis account of creation. He also tells us how God originally created. He created the two sexes, male and female, to come together in marriage for procreation. And so when people say Jesus said nothing about homosexuality, they fail to take into account these verses that talk about the foundation of God for the human family. And as we look in this text, it's interesting that the passage on children comes directly after a passage where the Lord teaches on divorce. Now, I know we've got folks sitting in our building today who have been divorced. I'm not here to be, look, people look at you and say you're second-class Christians. I'm going to tell you are not a second-class Christian because you've been divorced. Go ahead and say amen. Amen, Facebook. Just because they've been divorced don't mean they're second-class. Amen. That's right. Amen. The last I heard, Jesus died for sinners, divorced and undivorced sinners. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. So it's not, you're not a second-class citizen. But I want to say this, it's no coincidence, there are no coincidences in the Bible, that this passage follows the passage on marriage and divorce, because specifically it speaks to they, the mom and the dad, bringing their children to Jesus as a family unit. It's the responsibility of both mom and dad to raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when Jesus blesses the children, He blesses the ones that are brought them by the parents, and it follows the teaching on the sacredness of marriage. And so it's interesting that this passage follows that particular teaching on marriage and divorce. The home is very important. Someone says, well, preacher, I've been married, I'm divorced, and I'm living with my husband or my wife now. What am I supposed to do? You are to stay in the home where you are at, live for God, do what you can for God, and let God bless your home where you're at. Serve God from where you are at. I understand a man's been divorced and remarried. He can't preach, can't be a pastor. I get that. I completely understand that. I understand that completely. But do not for a moment think, well, man, I got a pass. I don't have to work for God. Brother, we got so much work to do, so many tracts to pass out, so many doors to knock on, so many missionaries to support, friend. There's a work for everybody to do. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Amen. You are, I mean, let me say this. Let me throw this out here. Sir, you're the pastor of your home. Well, preacher, I've been married and divorced. Let me just go say it one more time. You don't get a buy on this one. You're the pastor of your home. You're to lead your home. Children, listen to me. When your dad leads the home, what are you supposed to do? I'm very politically incorrect, okay? Ain't all of us can't be chiefs. Somebody's got to be an Indian. Amen. Children, what are y'all supposed to do? When dad leads the home, what do? You follow. Isn't that right? Ethan, say amen. Isaac, say amen. Wake up and say amen. All right, there you go. Say amen. 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 All right. Amen. Sarah Beth, you can say amen. Aaron says amen. That's all right. I get more amens out of little Aaron. That's a blessing. But when the father leads, children are supposed to follow. And really and truly, we aren't likely, not all the time. There are blessings. Thank God for the exceptions. Generally, the rule is when the home splits up, people don't live for God. They do their own thing and they forget about the children. They forget about the responsibility that they have. I just want to say thank God for the people sitting in this building who have not forgotten their responsibility to bring their children to Christ. Can I say amen to that? And God bless every single one of you. Divorced, undivorced families, I want to say thank God for each one of you who puts the priority on bringing your children to Jesus. Amen. Now, in the ancient world, let me simply say this. In the ancient world, you don't see this type of action going on except in typically Jewish households. If you were to be in Sparta and you were to be in a home where there were too many children, or there was one where, especially where there was one who was sick, the Spartans would take that baby, lay it out in the elements, and allow the animals and the elements to take the child's life. Very, very rough. That's not what the Jewish folks did. Jewish folks didn't do that. They love their children. That's why the psalmist tells us that, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Amen. The general attitude toward children in our culture today seems to be one where people couldn't care less about children. I'll tell you, someone says, well, preacher, we've got all this, we have all this abortion going on in our world. Nobody cares about children. I'm going to tell you, there are folks who care about your children. The mainstream news media cares about your children. That's why they try so hard to indoctrinate them. The public education system is interested in your children. That's why they try so hard to indoctrinate them. Go ahead and say amen. You might as well say amen. You know what's right. Amen. Amen. May I say to you that there are folks who are interested in your children, but the most involved, the most interested party ought to be mom and dad. Amen. Amen. I've had folks, you know, say some things as far as, you know, you got people at the church who do this, and people at the church who do that, and their implication was, you don't know what's going on as a pastor, and you don't care about them as a pastor. And I'm thinking to myself, sir, ma'am, nobody cares about that church more than I do. That's the church the Lord's blessed us to be at. This church the Lord gives us to pastor. That's it. And I will say that ought to be the same way about a father. The Lord has given you the children that you have. They're a blessing from the Lord. Some people the Lord blesses with children. Some people He doesn't bless with children. We've had five children. Actually, we've had seven. Two are in heaven. And, you know, the church people, other people find out. And so they'll come up to you. Mama's expecting. And they'll come up to you. You know what causes that, don't you? And I look at them and I fight back and I said, I sure do. A three-letter word. G-O-D. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Amen. 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 Well, I'm already about 12 minutes into my 20. Amen. Amen. Let me just give you this out of verse 13. Dad, let me talk to you just for a minute. Let's look at the bringing of the children. One of the greatest things, in verse number 19, dad specifically, who's leading that home, it ought to be the dad. I know many of them were probably out working. I get that. Maybe the moms were there. But Dad, it's our responsibility to keep them in the house of God, to keep the things of God before them. I will say one of the greatest things any parent can do is to see that their children are brought to Christ, no matter what age they are. You know, I'm grateful for children who go to school. I'm grateful for children who get an education, who maybe if they're going to college, they get a scholarship. Maybe they get a good trade school. Maybe they land a good job. Whatever the case may be, I thank God for that. That's wonderful. But friend, I want to tell you this. I'm with John, who said, I believe it was in 2nd, 3rd John, he said, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth. I would much rather have you work a minimum wage job. Amen. Being one of those people that everybody else looks down on, because you're working while they're sitting at home on their can doing nothing, drawing a check. We passed a sign in Polk County, Tennessee here a couple weeks ago. Coming north is on a sign on a Sonic. It said this. It said providing two stimulus checks per month. Apply inside. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I appreciate children who will work. I appreciate that. Thank God for it. But I'm going to say the greatest thing in the world is to see you walk in the truth. I would rather you work in that minimum wage job and be able to provide for your family the best that you can. You don't have to live in a 3,500 square foot house, have a 4-car garage, a boat, a wave runner, a 4x4, and all that. You don't have to have all that stuff. You don't have to have that. I mean, if things get bad, get a goat, put him on a rope, tie him to a tree, and let him mow your yard and eat him in the fall and start all over again in the spring. Amen. Amen. That's right, friend. Amen. Amen. You can tell I'm not a city boy. Amen. Amen. I would much rather see my children do that and be in a good Bible-believing church where the Word of God's preached. Hell is hot. Heaven is sweet. Sinners need to get saved by the grace of God. Everybody is going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. That includes everybody in this building, everybody outside of this building. Heaven or hell will be the residence of eternity for everybody in this building, one or the other. There is no middle ground. And may I say to you, I'd much rather have my children in a place where they could hear good Bible preaching than to have all the education, the accolades, the degrees, DD, PhD, MD, D-men, all the rest of them. These folks brought these children to Jesus to receive a blessing. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 15 tells us that they ranged from infants all the way up to probably around the pre-teenage, maybe 11 or 12, is what the word here translated children means. They wanted Jesus to bless them. And I'm going to say this, you can't take them to nobody else better who can bless them. Amen. Yeah, amen. The blesser is Christ. And I simply want to say this, that you know, it's not uncommon for parents in the Jewish faith to bring their children to the rabbis to be blessed. That's what these folks were doing when they came to Jesus, because He was a great teacher. But He's also the one who had performed all these miracles that they had seen all the way back there. The feeding of the 5,000, the instances of His healing of the Gadarene demoniac in Mark chapter number 5, all those things had already been done. They wanted Jesus to bless them. But I want to look here. Children are being brought to Jesus, but I want to look at the burden just for a minute of the children. Look at verse number 14. But when Jesus saw it, now watch this. What did He see? His disciples rebuked those that brought them. So here they are. Brother Kevin, you're bringing, you and Miss Mitzi, you're bringing Ethan and Isaac and Aaron, you're bringing them to Jesus to have them bless them. And here's what happens. The disciples put a wall and like, back up, go away, stop, leave the master alone, he's tired. Don't bother him anymore. I know some folks who have left church because their children were not treated well by church folk. Amen. Amen. Now I know sometimes children got to, you know, they need a little sassafras too. They need to go outside. Have them go outside and cut a switch. You're saying that from the pulpit? Facebook. Have the children cut the switch, bring it into mama, and let mama strap them legs. Amen. That's the reason. You say, preacher, I don't like that. It don't make any difference whether you like it or not. That's one of the problems here. That's why the Lord gave a lot of padding on that backside. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. I didn't say that. Solomon said that. Well, preacher, I follow Dr. Spock. Well, the problem is, look what Dr. Spock produced. Amen. Look who the Spirit of God produces. Amen. Watch this. They bring the parents bring the children to Jesus, but apparently the disciples thought that Jesus' time was being wasted by them wanting Him to touch them. I want you to look at verse number 14. But when Jesus saw it, what are the next four words? He was what? Much displeased. You ought to go home sometime. Of course, you could probably do it before you leave. Don't do it right now. Just take a mental note. Try to find where else Jesus was displeased in the Gospels. Let me know what displeased Him. You know what displeased Jesus? When His own disciples prevented people from bringing children to Him. Now, brother, I don't know about you. I don't want Jesus mad at me. Amen. He was a man of real emotions. He was God in the flesh, but He was not a feelingless person. I mean, in the Mark's gospel, he's tired. We read that. We read where he has compassion and heals a leper. He's angry about the hardness of the Pharisee's heart in chapter 3 and verse number 5. He's amazed at the unbelief of his hometown in chapter 6. He has compassion on people. And here he shows his displeasure with his disciples for turning away these parents. How would you like it to be said, Jesus was displeased with you? I don't know about you, but that's not a place I'd want to be. But notice his command. He commands them to let those little children come to him. And Dad, what are you doing to get your children to Jesus? I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to slow down here just a minute. I've got so much here I could give you. I've got 1,595 words just in the manuscript I could read to you. Jesus was displeased when it was the disciples who prevented people from bringing their children to Him. Mom or Dad, are you, am I, doing anything to prevent our children coming to Jesus? Do our priorities say that that's an important thing? Christ is important? I want to tell you, the last 2 weeks, we were down at the missions camp. We were in Alabama. We were in a third world country. Okay? Alabama is a third world country. If you're from Alabama, it's a great place to be from. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. If you're from Alabama, God bless you. You couldn't help where you were born. Amen. Now, some of y'all were born in the great state of Tennessee, praise the Lord. I mean, I know the Lord puts a little bit of grace and an extra whipped cream on top of the apple pie, praise God. That's right. But I was down in a third world country of Alabama, and here's the thing. We had no cell phone service hardly until you got into one spot, and ever so often you could get a message in and out, but not all the time. You know what that meant? That meant no internet. I know some people are like, no internet. Wonderful. No internet. That week was a week without internet. It was a week without television. When we heard that my mom had passed, it was good for our family. We did what was best for our family. We stayed at the camp, finished the camp out. It was just a day or so, day and a half. Drove to Tennessee. And as far as I know, we never turned the television on until the girls, they had to watch something on Hallmark here the other day or something. Other. I don't know. I'm not a Hallmark kind of guy. I'm not a Hallmark guy. It was wonderful because there was no television. But I wonder sometimes, Dad, Mom, do you watch things that might prevent your kids from coming to Jesus? If it's got language in it, I don't need to listen to it. And my kids don't need to listen to it. And there's been times I've had to turn channels. Hey, man, that's right. Well, preacher, they hear it going down the halls of the school. Well, number one, I'm not preaching on that. But number two, let me simply say this. It ought not to be in our house. There have been times I've had to throw stuff out and get rid of stuff. I have. But I wonder, are we the ones preventing our children from coming to the Lord? Just something to think about. Something to think about. Last of all, let me give you this. I've already gone 5 minutes over my 20, so I'm sorry. Jesus took them up in His arms. He put His hands on them and He blessed them. In this time, there was a physical contact for prayer and blessing. Can I go and tell you something? I read something ridiculously stupid here on the internet the other day. And I'm just going to pass it along to you. It said some traditions that need to go. Traditions that need to die. And I can't repeat the words that were in the article, but it said, having children no matter what age, making them hug their moms and dads and hug their grandparents and hug their uncles, that's their own body and they ought to be able to choose. And I'm thinking to myself, keep talking. Let the stupidity run just like water out of a spigot. Some of y'all are looking at me like, who in the world? I'm just telling you, these folks were raised on the planet Pluton somewhere. I loved showing affection to my parents. And it could be the reason they didn't show affection to their parents is because they weren't raised in a home, Brother Kirk, where they had a father who led. Now look, if someone's a pervert, they need to be taken to jail. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Someone's a child molester, they need to be taken to jail. End of story, that's it. Amen. Amen. And I'm being very kind by taking them to jail. But there is nothing wrong with showing affection. It's right to show affection. May I say to you that Paul tells Timothy that in the last days, one of the characteristics is for people being unthankful. One of the ways you show where you're unthankful is not showing appreciation. Nothing wrong with saying thank you to your mom and dad for providing a home for you, like some of y'all did today. Nothing wrong with saying thank you to an employer for being so kind. Where my sister works at the real estate company, her boss lady put up a computer in the dining room area where my sister could work, turn right around, and grab my mom's coffee, take it to the microwave, and heat it up and bring it back to her. I mean, what a blessing that was. Now, I know we talk different about women working outside the home and all that stuff, but I'm just telling you, we were thankful to Miss Pat for making it possible for my sister to be there to take care of my mom in her final days. There ought to be some thankfulness. And we had no problem hugging Miss Pat's neck, because she, not only did she help out with my sister, she also brought Chick-fil-A. And I'm thinking, I mean, that's just a blessing. Amen. Folks, we need to bring our children to the Lord. It's wise to bring our children to Jesus. Dad, I know this is a different Father's Day message. It's completely different than anything I've ever done for Father's Day. But as a father, we need to bring our children to the Lord. I'm going to tell you, sometimes family devotions are the hardest things to do. They're hard to do. When you're on the road, when you're there, when children become teenagers and they're all over the place, sometimes it's hard to do devotions. Well, the last time we finished up in Luke 2, that's been a couple of weeks ago. You know what we're going to do when we pick back up? We're going to go to Luke chapter number 3. We're just going to read through the Gospel of Luke and read through it. Now, as a church, I want to tell you this. We've got to do what we can to give our children the best access to the Lord. We need to have an atmosphere where children are free to ask questions about Christ. They're free to be children. They aren't perfect. They're in training right now. Parents are training their children. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I wore Caleb out. I mean, it seemed like Audrey was outside with him all the time. And then when we went to, after I stopped pastoring, went to our other church there, I mean, I was outside with him. Seemed like every other service wearing a boy out. I mean, I'm telling you, it was a come to Jesus meeting outside the church as well as inside the church. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all looking at me like it's kind of strange. Well, that needs to happen. But children are not going to be perfect. They're going to make racket. They're going to make noise. Amen. They are. But it's nice when they blurt out, "I love my dad." I like that. It's nice when Lydia raises her hand and wants to give a prayer request at her age. I'm not ashamed of that. And I bless the Lord for that. Now I'm going to say this, our children are much smarter than we give them credit for. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go and say some things. Some of you young folks, your parents are much smarter than you give them credit for. Some of y'all got some things you just need to give up and get right. Some of y'all do. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Who was the first person who told you Jesus loved you? Was it your parents? Was it a Sunday school teacher? Was it a neighbor? It ought to be your parents. It ought to be your parents. The second song many of us learned way back when is this one. Jesus loves the little children. All the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. They're precious in His sight. Jesus loves little children of the world. So I have no problem believing that Jesus loves me. With all my faults, with all my failures, thank God He loves me. I look in the mirror and I don't love him. I don't love the fellow in the mirror. Sure don't love him. But I'm glad Jesus loves me. Dads, we've got a huge responsibility. Not just being that to our sons, but maybe even mentoring some other young men we can be a blessing to. And I know this has been completely different. We've got a lot of visitors here this morning. It's different. Of course, my mother passed away a little over a week ago, so it's been a hard week. It's been a tough week. But having said that, we've got a responsibility. Happy Father's Day to all of y'all out there. Well, let's go ahead and we'll stand our feet.